Happy Thanksgiving, and it's been a wonderful time spending the day with Jesus and with each other and our good friends at Gilardi's from the United States. I want to let you in on a little secret. Arlene is one of our own. She's a Canadian girl, Bert locked out. Amen. And now he's been in love with Canadians ever since. And we love them. And you know, whether you're from America or Canada, we're all just one people, really. And just a little border, but we're of the house of the Lord. We're one family. We're a nation that lives within the nations, actually. And who Jesus is our King. So it's nice when we get together, though, isn't it? It's awesome. And hallelujah, we're getting older. Bert keeps reminding me, we're getting older. And I don't know what reunion this is, but it's been a long time. But I'm happy to, at this time, ask my sister, Arlene, who's a wonderful minister, to come and minister to us. And be free in the Lord, sister.
Greetings from Endwell, New York, the place where everything ends well. At least that's what the Lord told me, so I believe. I agree. Amen. It's great to be here. It's great to see you. It's precious to be amongst brethren of like precious faith. And it has been 35 years that we've been coming here. So I said to Terry and Elizabeth today, we're growing old together. Which is nice, isn't it? It's nice. It's nice to be amongst our friends who we've had for a long time. And we're believing God that he will reveal his glory here tonight. And he has already. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can you hear out there? Can you hear? Okay, is there any way that it could be turned up? Because I think there's people there that cannot hear. And my voice is not like Bert's. It's much more feeble. Okay, well, tonight I feel of the Lord to bring something to us, a thought to us, in order to illuminate possibly something that we fight through and something that the Lord wants to bring us into more and more. Have you ever experienced a relationship where you did not agree very often? Don't look at your husband or wife. It's hard to have a relationship, isn't it? And it's hard to sustain a relationship if you fail to agree, at least on the basic things. I believe that that's why we've had a relationship here for so long, is because we agree on many basic things in the Lord. The real heart issues, we agree. And we can focus on that which we agree. And we can build on it. And where there's an agreement, there is the touch of God. And the Lord wants to bring God's people into total agreement with him. Yeah. Now, positionally, we already have a union with him. We are one with him through the blood, through the sacrifice of his precious blood. When we become born again, we positionally have a union with him. But God wants that union to be affected in reality in our daily walk. He is bringing us into a perfection of a union with him. Now, that would take some agreement. So if you were going to title this message, it would be Agreement with the Lord. He is working on bringing all of us into agreeing with him on every level, in every way. And, you know, when two people get married, there's a marriage going on right now. Our dear brother and sister, their daughter's getting married, Clayton and Judy Weller. And when two people get married, not only is there a union in the flesh, but by and by, as the years go by, they become totally one. One in vision, one in thought, one in action, one. And that is a natural picture of what God has for us in the church. He wants to bring us into the same union that Jesus Christ had with his Father. Positionally and legally, we have the ring. We have the covenant through the blood of Jesus. But in actuality and in working out, he is working upon us to bring us into total agreement. Now, in the book of Amos, the prophet cries out and he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't really walk very long together with someone unless there's an agreement. Unless there is a basic covenant, you might say. A basic agreement that you're going to have the same type of values, the same type of outlook. Because there's certain people, as I get older, I know that there's certain people that I've run into along the way that I feel at this juncture that it would be best possibly if I just dropped back in the walking together and kind of took exit stage right. Because there's not an agreement. And if there isn't an agreement, then what is the validity or the authenticity of the relationship? God wants to bring us into a vital, living, real relationship. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there has to be a reality of the truth of God in our relationship. And this comes by revelation. It comes by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that he wants to cause us to walk together with him. Now in Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet says, come now, let us reason together. Let us reason together. That means that we would have one mind. One mind. One thought. A union, a vital union. I love reading the book of the Gospel of John because in there I see the union that Jesus walked in with his Father. I only do those things which I see my Father doing. I only say those things which I hear my Father saying. I long for that 24/7. Once in a while I hit it and I rejoice and I'm happy, but it's not enough to have it once in a while. The Lord is after a dwelling place that he can extend his expression in the earth through a many-membered body, but you can't do it unless we come into agreement. Now, you might say, well, I thought I was in agreement. And to a large extent, we are in agreement. We have a godly bloodline, that his blood is in us, and we're in his line. We have his spirit within us, and we love him, and he is continuously revealing himself to us through the scriptures. So we are entering into a greater and greater reality of this oneness, of this union that we have with Christ. But it takes humility. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. When you think about your human relationships, a lot of times they break up because on one person's part or on both people's part, there is a lack of humility. There is a lack of humility. And here in Romans 12, let's start reading verses 2 to 4. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So come, let us reason together means that we will begin to take on the very reasoning of God. Have our minds washed. Be transformed. No longer do we seek to live in an earthly plane, just in the natural, just eking out an existence. But God has called each and every one of us into a heavenly union so that we can walk with him, so that we can be in agreement with him, and so that we will believe what he tells us and act on it. And ask him to do it in us, Lord. Do it in me, Lord. Whatever you say you want for me, I want. That's an agreement. But that takes a humility, doesn't it? Because if I feel that what God is doing in my life is not really the right thing, then I'm setting myself up as God, when in reality, that is what Satan did, isn't it? He said, I will ascend to the highs. I will ascend. I will be the ruler of the earth, is what he was trying to tell us. But God is drawing us into a walk where we can say, Lord, you know. Lord, thou knowest if these bones can live. Lord, you know. Your way is higher than my way. And I humble myself, taking into account that I am found in a human body, that I am found in the fashion of a man. I am just a piece of redeemed dust. And so therefore, Lord, your mind is higher than mine. Your way is higher with mine than mine. And so I come into union into your mind. That takes an acknowledgement of who we are. So we need a transformed mind by the renewing of our mind, verse 2, that you may prove or be the proof of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're shooting for the perfect, aren't we? We're shooting for the fullness of what God has for us. There's more than what we have today. There's more. And we want that. And so by and by, as the Lord works upon us, we are humbling ourselves and saying, your way, your way, Lord, your way. I acknowledge that you are God and I am not. Then look what he says. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. In other words, in reality, take a reality check. Be sober about it. Not as if you weren't thinking clearly because you were inebriated by the spirit of the world, but soberly, the way things really are. You are God, and I am not. But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So here we find ourselves in a situation where we want more of God. We want to go on in him. We want his fullness. But there are still a slight disagreement along the way. But God is saying, I want to renew your mind. I want to transform you by the Holy Spirit. I want to give you my mind. So let's just go over a couple of books into Philippians and look at what Paul says here in the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians This is the shortest synopsis of Jesus' life that we have here in chapter 2 of Philippians. And it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you. Let it. Who lets it? We do. We let it. It is something that we are in charge of. We humble ourselves and give our mind, our thought life, over to the Lord so that He can infiltrate it and transform our mind so that we live in the kingdom of God, not in this earthly plane. The Lord has redeemed us so that we can come up into the heavenlies. We can come up and live 3 feet above the ground and not be under the circumstances, but rule in this life by one Christ Jesus. Amen. He wants us to rule in the midst of our enemies. He wants the Spirit of God to rule through us. So let not that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So although he was God, he did not cling to that. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. But he made himself of no reputation. He did not go around advertising, I am God, I am God, here I am, everybody worship me, I'm finally here, I'm in your midst. No, he did not. He humbled himself. And he did not advertise who he really was. He just stayed under the hand of his Father and rested to walk in his works, to walk in union with his Father. So, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And this phrase here often grabs me in the depth of my heart. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that was the mindset of Jesus. That was his mind. And that's what we need in order to come into total agreement with him. Lord, I don't know the way. You be my GPS. You guide me. You lead me. I don't know because I am in the form of a man. But God, who is the King of glory, has chosen to come and indwell us, and he wants to show forth his glory through us. He wants to bring us into that vital union in our daily lives. So what's keeping us from this? Well, let's all turn to Matthew 10. I want to show us something there. In Matthew 10... there is a scripture in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. That word confess means to say the same thing as. The Greek word is homologeo. Homo means one. That is agreement. Logeo means word. To say the same thing. So a confession means that we are on the same page, that we're in agreement. So if we proclaim Jesus in this earth to everyone, and we say who he is because it's been shown to us by revelation, and we confess, we are coming into agreement with heavenly realities, with the reality of who he is. And so we can walk in that union. We are in agreement. We are saying the same thing. Now, this word is a wonderful word, which means to assent. In other words, to agree, to give assent, to give permission, to agree with what the Lord is saying, to agree with who he is, to acknowledge him for who he is, to give thanks to him for who he is, to promise or be in covenant with him.